What's up, baddie bees? I'm Brianna, mom, wife, serial entrepreneur, and host of the Badass Basic Bitch podcast. Each week, I sit down with a seemingly ordinary woman who's doing extraordinary things, and I get to share her story with you. So let's go. Buckle up as we're going to get real and dive into the shit nobody talks about. Welcome to the Baddie Bee Club.
There was still something that was kind of missing. Like, I still felt a little void. There's something else I'm meant to do, and I'm not honoring it, and I can't figure out what it is. And I sat with that for almost a year. We always kind of know deep down what we should be doing. And for me, the realization I had was I'm a writer. I self-identify and have for almost my whole life as a writer. But there's one problem. I wasn't writing anything.
Welcome back to another episode of Badass Basic Bitch. On today's episode, we have Nicole Savino with us. And if you haven't heard her first episode with us, Navigating Red Flags in the Workplace, please check that out because it was awesome. But today, we're bringing her back on for a different topic. Today, we're going to be talking all about exploring your hobbies and passions and how to turn it into more of a business that works for you. Nicole, thank you so much for being with us today again.
Yes. Thank you so much for inviting me to come back. I'm so grateful.
So why don't you give us a little recap of who you are and what you do before we dive in?
Sure. I am an entrepreneur, an executive, and outside of those two roles, I love being a thought leader and I love starting dialogue, especially with women, about how we can just lean on one another and continue to live our best, most fulfilling lives, which is hard.
And one of our top episodes that we had in terms of downloads was the Navigating Red Flags in the Workplace. And I think a lot of women definitely experience that. And I think to bridge the gap from that to what we're talking about today, I think women, when they feel underappreciated, undervalued, there's toxicity, and maybe there's a ceiling for their career journey. Something that you iterated and thought that was really important during that conversation was playing around and allowing yourself the opportunity and space to have side hustles, to have side businesses, to enjoy your passion. So are you in that right now? Are you still the chief of staff at a creative agency? Like, what are you doing right now? And where are you in your own career journey?
Well, when I saw you last, I had just done a scary thing. And I had left a very long standing corporate position. And I did that because there were just circumstances that I could no longer accept for myself. And it was very scary. And I wanted to be very cognizant that I would allow myself to sort of free fall and not put a lot of emphasis on, you know, setting timelines and dates. And obviously, I saved very hard to be in a position that I could allow myself that space. So I spent 2 years sort of organically creating my own small business consulting firm. And that happened very organically. It happened through connections that I didn't know prior to leaving my job. I had never met and formed these relationships, you know, completely by being in the right place at the right time and also having had opened all that space for new opportunity.
What is the consulting firm that you're doing right now? Like, is it the same one? And what is that?
Well, I've since accepted, as of January, a full-time position with a client that I had for almost 2 years, and that's in the fintech family office software world. But for the past 2 years prior to January, when I went full-time with this client, I built a small business consulting firm based on all of my experience as an executive assistant and a chief of staff to high-net-worth individuals and having a real advantage and perspective on how small business owners, you know, do better when they have a simplified workday and how do you simplify their workday. maybe it's taking a project off their plate. Maybe it's taking a project off the plate of one of their executives to open up more bandwidth. So really just going inside an organization and saying, what are your pain points? How do we re-audit process? How do we examine a way to make things more streamlined? How do we make your time more streamlined? So that was really cool. It was my world for a long time and will always continue to be my world of just, you know, being able to help an organization fine tune itself from the inside out. So I'm very grateful for that time. I met and worked with so many people that I care so much about and, you know, was so happy to be a part of their businesses for a small time. And in sort of my own journey, I had this like big life change. I had so much energy and adrenaline from that, as you do when you make a huge, scary life change. It's really, really cool how much energy you get that you can just kind of propel yourself forward with. Whether it's good or bad, it is energy and it does take you somewhere. And now I was aligned in my professional life and I'm only accepting work with people that I really identify with and projects that I really identify with. And I was feeling so aligned professionally and so clean, you know, just accepting only what I wanted to and not putting a lot of pressure on myself. Again, by letting go of all that, you know, programming to try to control a situation, I was shocked at how much opportunity rushes towards you. But there's still something that was kind of missing. Like I still felt a little void. There's something else I'm meant to do and I'm not honoring it and I can't figure out what it is. And I sat with that for almost a year. You know, and we always kind of know deep down what we should be doing. And for me, the realization I had was I'm a writer. I self-identify and have for almost my whole life as a writer. But there's one problem. I wasn't writing anything. I was like writing emails and, you know, copywriting a little bit. And, you know, I'm literally the go-to person when somebody wants to send a breakup text or an email to ask for a promotion or a raise. That's always my area, but I was not writing anything for myself. I would make time to write. I would write something and then I would delete it. And it was the only area of my life that I was just completely betraying myself on because I believed I had a true passion for this. So I wouldn't be doing this whole journey of, you know, reevaluating my whole life and redesigning my whole arena to be on my terms if I didn't give this talent, I believe I had, some love as well, right? It's so easy to take our hobbies or our interests or what we believe our purpose might be and just kind of keep shoving it down and prioritizing work and prioritizing social lives and other things. And it's eventually that will catch up to you, you know, and you need to give some space to what you believe your true passions are, even if it's not going to be a money-making opportunity because yeah, it shouldn't be, you know?
Yeah, it's finding something that fills your cup, essentially. And not everybody's cup gets filled because you're making money, but it could be knitting or playing tennis or just something that's for you. And it's viewing self-care in that way, not necessarily always having to be a side hustle to get money or just something that fulfills you. Is that what you're saying? Like finding that missing component?
Yeah, I think we have to be really, really aware in the times we're living in how we're measuring success, because a lot of us, myself included, this is why I literally wasn't writing. We have this all or nothing mentality. And I think a lot of that is influenced by all the media consumption, social media consumption that we're taking on every day. So it's almost like we can subconsciously believe, well, unless I have a platform or unless I have all these followers or unless I have a publication interested in doing this or, you know, a tennis team to play on or whatever the hobby is, why do it? You know what? I'm just going to start it by myself. It seems like we're trying society. I feel like, or at least my generation, I'll speak for not everybody. You know, you don't want to put yourself out there and try something unless it's on this grandiose scale. And everybody is now, it's dangerous because then you start making decisions based on what you're consuming or you think people want to see, and you can get really out of alignment with what's best for you, I feel. So I self-identified as a writer who wasn't writing. And then I said, okay, this is enough. You're going to start writing. I made a promise to myself. I created a Substack and I said, I'm going to write an essay every week for a year, and I'm not going to share it with anyone. I'm going to do this just for me. I'm going to just see what happens, and I'm going to let go of the desire for perfection. I'm going to let go of writing an essay. Because by the way, when I started writing, it just poured out. It wasn't laborious at all. It was like really cool. Actually, it's kind of one of the only things that when I start to do it, I don't even think it just comes out of me. So I said, you're not going to go back and nitpick and micromanage. And, you know, I don't even care if it's grammatically correct. I'm just going to write it, and I'm going to post it on the Substack that only I had access to. And I'm going to do this for myself for a year, and then I'm going to just see where I'm at. And I did. And it was so cool and such a fun project and kind of this nice little like secret with myself. And then at the end of a year, I said, now I'm going to take a writing workshop and really start to like get some depth in this talent that I'm discovering. And another challenge to myself was the outcome of that writing workshop. I wanted to create an additional newsletter that now I would share. And again, not share in the sense that we all, you know, feel so much pressure. Like I want to make this have blow up on social media and I want 100,000 followers. And no, I'm going to now start to share this with the people I know who are going to really help nurture and support this talent of mine, and who are going to show it to people who are also going to nurture and support it and going to want to be part of this community. And I created a second Substack called High Functioning Female. And my focus for that newsletter became to try to speak on the female experience, specifically to those of us who have this burning out ambition that's like significantly outweighing what we actually have time for, and just create a really like safe space for talking about things that happen to women. Maybe it's, you know, talking about a group fitness class and how uncomfortable that could be, or maybe it's talking about dating or being married or, you know, the workplace. I didn't really want to solve it so much as just start it. So I did that in January. And now I've been doing these two newsletters sort of as my hobby project outside of work. And it's been so fun and so cool. And I am just really excited to see where it leads me. And the most exciting part of it is it led me deeper into myself.
Yeah. So how does someone do this? What do you recommend for people to do this similarly to you?
I think we all already know our answers. You know, we all have a really intuitive ability to know what we're honoring and not honoring for ourselves. And what you choose to do about that can take time. You know, you might have to sit with it or create some space to really get clear on what do I like? What am I good at? What do I want to try? You know, do I want to take a gymnastics class at 37 years old and see if I like tumbling? Maybe I do. You know, there's no wrong way to tap into trying something new, especially if you have a predisposed yearning to do that thing.
Mm-hmm. Are there some, like, I think that there are some people that aren't quite sure. Like, I think of even myself, I like to do a lot of things. But how do I know, like, what are some things that I can do to start figuring out, like, what are the top priority things that I really should be focusing my time on? Because, like, I don't know. I have a lot of things that I would like to do, but which one's going to fill that void? Like, how does someone figure that out?
I think you can do a couple of things. I think it can be really uncomfortable, but journaling is a really great way to get to know yourself. And one of my hacks for that, again, we hear journaling, and at least for me, before I started doing it, it was that all or nothing mentality. It was like, well, I have to write this like 2 pages, you know, and what do I write? Dear diary. And this feels weird. And I'm going to stop. Yeah. And I started just doodling, you know, like opening my journal in the morning and doodling the way I do in a Zoom call off to the side, you know, and then slowly I would start writing like a little mantra for myself or a word that stood out. And I think sometimes just eliminating all the distractions we have and really forcing yourself to sit in silence, forcing yourself to not be on technology, to be out in nature is how you can hopefully over time start to access your burning desires and passions. And also just go off of what your interests are. You know, do you love clothes? I had a friend who worked in a clothing store one day a week, has a beautiful career, loves fashion, worked in a high-end boutique, ended up loving it, you know, and the interaction and, you know, handling all these garments and understanding where they came from and how to style them, put them together. So I think I would just start with what are you drawn to outside of your profession and your children and your family and friends?
Yeah, I like that. It's you may not know, but maybe starting to do those things and seeing how you feel during it or leading up to it. To me, my biggest indicator of like, I always thought like sports was my thing and I love sports. But then when it was like going to the gym or going playing that sport, I love it. But leading up to it, like wanting to go, I didn't. And so I'm like, maybe this is not for me because I feel like if I liked it all the way around, that I would be like, oh, I can't wait for this. I can't wait for tennis. I can't wait for this. And I'm like, tennis. I don't want to go. But then when I'm there, I love it, but I don't want to go. And I'm like, so clearly that's not for me because I don't want to have to convince myself to do something unless it fulfills me, right? Versus, you know, working on my business. I work on it, my side business, 1 hour a day. And I'm like, I can't wait until that 1 hour comes and I can work on it. And I love working on it. And so I'm like, okay, that's more for me because I enjoy all aspects of it. So.
But I wonder if it's one of those things with tennis where you have to, over time, give yourself permission to fit that in and want to be there. And maybe that's sort of your subconscious leading up to it. And maybe your subconscious is thinking, I shouldn't really be doing this, or I don't really have time to do this. And, you know, this is silly. Yeah,
that's possible. That is possible. I'll have to think about that. Well, also, I think, too, it's like, I think for me, I'm super extroverted and social, but I like to be with my friends. And so if I was going with a friend, I'd probably be excited. But like for me, I'm like, oh, I don't want to go by myself, you know? So maybe that's the other thing is like, no, maybe you do like it. You just have to loop one of your friends in to do it with you.
Yeah, exactly. Which can really help because maybe a friend comes a couple of times and then they hate it. But you're like, well, now I have, you know, a whole nother friend group here that I'm going to stick around for.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. I like that.
Or maybe you have certain friends that are going to love it too.
Yeah. How do you know when it's time to put something down?
That's a good question. I think when you're disconnected and I think you feel it in your body when you're not responding to something, right? You're resistant. You find yourself not trying hard. You're certainly not looking forward to it the way you would look forward to something like you talked about your side hustle. I don't know. It's a good dialogue though, is like, how do you know you're not just giving up on something and that you're actually honoring yourself saying this is not a good fit? That's a great topic.
Yeah, because I have two friends and they started a business and they were all about the business and really liked it. But I think now they're just kind of like, well, now we have customers. And we do still like it, but there's not the time for it because they have multiple children. And to me, I'm like, is it the you signed up for all these other things? And so now you're preventing yourself from doing the thing that you love, or do you not like it and you're filling your schedule? It's like, which one is the lead indicator that either you want to put it down or maybe you're not allowing yourself the right time to do it? So I was curious.
Yeah. I think whenever we try to monetize something, it can be easy to lose the passion, especially if it becomes like a necessity to have something start to generate revenue or, you know, I don't know. That's why I'm very obsessed right now with like, what can we do for ourselves that's just pure bliss, that's not associated with any type of external ego driving, you know, praise and publicity. It's just more about like, hey, at the end of the day, I really like going outside and going for a walk, or I really like writing, or I really like, you know, bird watching. I don't know. I'm sure there's something for everyone that brings them joy.
So do you think that when people start thinking about these things, are you saying it is better to not find something that has a monetary value to it, but rather something that fulfills you and makes you happy, that you're not like, am I making money from it or not?
Yeah, absolutely. Which is really hard because right now, especially, I don't know, we're just in this society of consumption, and you can't log, I mean, you can't even think a thought these days, right? Without it popping up in some type of ad or showing up somewhere. I mean, I said to you about the Berkey before we started, and I guarantee you I will have some type of ad for it as soon as this call is over. So I think because of that culture that we're caught up in, and it's very real, I'm not speaking against it, it becomes really harder to decipher what we actually like or don't like. You know, think about every day we're being told something's good and then it's bad. You know, eat strawberries, don't eat strawberries, buy organic, don't buy organic, eat eggs, don't eat eggs. I mean, every day the information is just changing. It's, I guess my point in all this is that it's even harder to really reconcile who we are and what we like and what we want our lives to be based upon. You know, are we just liking things because they have become mainstream? Are we buying things because people are telling us to buy them? I know if you're a woman, the skincare market, I mean, there's 500 million different, you need this skincare and don't do that and wear the sunscreen. I mean, it's just insane. So how do we filter through all that and stay true to ourselves?
Yeah. Yeah, that's very true. What happens if someone's listening to this and they're like, I literally have nothing. Like they have nothing. They're like so lost in being a mom or being a entrepreneur, or being whatever they're being. And they're just like, I have nothing.
I think that's really real too. And that's why I stand behind all this like soul searching. And when I say create space, it's very much about just taking something off your plate, or at least giving yourself time in the day to really think without that, you know, filter of our devices. So I think for those people, I understand that, because I think for a long time I fought against what was really right for me. And, you know, to me, the fastest way to catalyze some type of energy and some type of adrenaline that can hopefully lead you to discover what you're good at or what you like or where your network lies or where your next friend group is change. You know, where can you make a change? Where can you do something really scary or hard? Is it joining a new group? Is it downloading Bumble BFF? Is it at the playground seeing other moms and feeling really lonely and being vulnerable and saying, hey, you know, we look like we have kids the same age. Can we chat, or do you come to, I'm not a mom, so I want to be very careful to not speak to that journey because I don't want to say the wrong thing. And I know I have so many friends who are moms who feel very disconnected from their own lives and their own interests and hobbies because they lack the time.
So true. Mm-hmm.
You know, and maybe if that's the experience, it goes back to your network of support and just really working on that first, you know, surrounding yourself with people, even one person that's going to hold you accountable a little bit or hold some space for you or help you open up dialogue on some of these topics.
Yeah. So what is your,
high functioning female.
High functioning female. So what exactly, you said it's a newsletter, but what is, like, what's in it? How do people find it or sign up for it? How often do you ship it out?
I try to post an essay every Sunday. It's highfunctioningfemale.substack.com. And it's a weekly newsletter. I really want to hear from other women in my generation or different generations. And I want to really just keep picking apart that female experience and how it manifests differently for all of us. Those of us that are mothers, for those of us that are going through fertility struggles, for those of us that are executives and having a really hard time balancing everything, those of us going through divorce, through breakups, through being single and feeling, you know, like you want a family and you're at a certain age and it you know, where's the end in sight? So I am hoping that I can create a community through this newsletter where we can have a safe haven for all of our topics to discuss. And I can only speak on my experience and the experience of the people around me. So I really hope that I can continue to grow this newsletter and hear from other women. And similar to how you're, you know, featuring ordinary women doing extraordinary things, you know, just really, really transcend and tap into what other people are going through and become that safe haven.
I love that. And then what's next for you? I love that you, a couple of years ago when we were chatting, you had left to go do your own consulting and your own thing. And now you're at something else just recently for full time. And I always like looking at that because without your choice that you made several years ago, like this opportunity wouldn't have been open for you. And it was one of your clients. And so clearly there was something about them that you really liked and it felt right. And it allowed you that opportunity to do that. And I think it just goes back to being intuitive with what you need and what you're looking for, because this where you're at right now is because you listened to yourself years ago. And I think that's what sort of everybody can take away from this episode, is trust yourself and trust your intuition, because you know yourself better than anybody else, right?
Mm-hmm. It's really hard. It's hard to trust yourself. It's hard to make a decision that affects your future, especially if there's just, you know, a whole slew of unknowns. But if you try, you know, I'm a big believer in you're always going to land on your feet. You're always going to be resourceful. Very infrequently are we going to find ourselves just like completely at the bottom of a pit with no options, you know, if we're doing our best to continue to advocate for ourselves and make rational decisions. And I will say it's very, very hard to listen to yourself at times and to follow your intuition. It can take a lot of people. I mean, look at people who it takes a really long time to realize that it's time to leave a relationship, or, you know, it can be applied to so many areas of life. So it's not a decision that you should make overnight. It's something you should really, really put thought into and sit with.
Yeah, seriously, that's such good advice. Well, what are some takeaways for listeners that you would want them to leave this episode with? Like, what advice or any takeaways from your experience since the last time you were on?
I would say just spend time thinking for yourself outside of all these external influences that we have every day, all these notifications, all this, you know, ads, and it's hard to even read an article anymore without getting ads and having to pay to upgrade to read the full article. So it's becoming harder and harder to educate ourselves. So try to do that maybe from the inside out, get to know yourself offline a little bit, nurture your passions. And maybe before you can do that, you have to find out what your passions are. And I am so curious to hear how people go about that, you know, because that's going to look differently for everybody. And then who are you surrounding yourself with? And can those people make you feel safe about your curiosities and your passions and your interests and where you want to take them? Can they hold you accountable for it? And you know, just having patience with yourself as well. It takes time. It took me a year. It took me my whole life, actually, to say, hey, I think you're a writer and why aren't you writing? It took me 36 years to say, all right, enough, let's just start doing it. So be patient.
Well, I appreciate that. And then where can people find you if they want to follow your work, follow your Instagram or LinkedIn? I know you're popular on LinkedIn. Where can people reach you and sign up for this newsletter?
Yeah, you can find me on social at Nicole Adeline, NicoleAdeline. And then that has a link to all my stuff. But yeah, and I just, more than anything else, I want to hear from other women about what the experience is. Life is really hard in the world we're living in. It's really beautiful and it's been really streamlined in so many different ways. But for every advantage we get, there's a disadvantage somewhere else. So I'm just forever fascinated by what other women are going through and how they're dealing with it and working on it and wanting to have those conversations.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your time today and thanks for updating us.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so grateful.
As always, thank you for listening. Check us out on Instagram at @badassbasicbitch. And thank you to Saw and Sign, our production studio. We'll see you next week.